Amen. We have a kind of useless purpose in being here this morning if you didn't, would it? Well, you guys would probably argue today we had potluck, but, you know, that's just for one day. You guys open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, starting at chapter 1. Now, when I was a kid, every Saturday morning, we would have these little cartoons that would sing to us. It's called Schoolhouse Rock. How many of y'all remember Schoolhouse Rock? It rocked, man. I love Schoolhouse Rock. So one of the things that Schoolhouse Rock would say, and I thought about doing a sing-along just to test y'all if you were really Schoolhouse Rock fans, but I will spare you. So one of the things that they would say in the Schoolhouse Rock is that knowledge is power. And it would encourage you to try to, the things that we need to learn in school and how much power it gives you. That's true. Knowledge is power, and not just for to learn how a bill works and conjunction, junction, and all that, but and also the knowledge we gain from Scripture. Scripture is so invaluable. I teased my brother Richard this morning, but I guess I should also brag on him. He still sends his weekly text to me every Sunday. He prays for me. And all along with the prayer, there's also Scripture in there. Usually it's encouraging. I think sometimes it's challenging. Usually pretty encouraging. But Scripture is so valuable to us. I mean, it's given to us from God if you understand the authority in Scripture, but also the truth in Scripture. So we're going to spend the next several weeks just in the Proverbs. I love the Proverbs, and we're going to start off here in chapter 1, and as we kind of move into this. So if you guys open your Bibles with me and stand, we're going to start off in Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning that you have given us just all of Scripture. But this morning, Father, the next several Sundays, we focus on these Proverbs, these little just small packages and nuggets of wisdom and knowledge. Father, I pray they won't just be a collection of sayings in our minds, Father, but we'll understand the truth in every one of them. Speak to us through your Spirit, Lord. Join us today as we look at these, just beginning in this collection of truths. Help me to move out of the way and simply speak that truth and help us all to hear from you and be transformed in our heart. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we start off right here in verse 1. We find out a kind of an introduction there, if you will. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." Now, that's valuable to us. We, of course, know there's some validity as we see these writings. It was written or collected, if you will, from these Proverbs from Solomon. But not only that, do we understand, if you're kind of a student of Scripture, you know why that's also valuable. So Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. You learned about that, why that happened in 1 Kings. A quick review is, he was king. And now he was after God's own heart, wanted to walk in the ways of God, but he wasn't really doing that. You guys know that at the time, Solomon, he got to struggle with idolatry and different things, but God came to him in a dream and what do you want? And Solomon asked for wisdom. The Bible tells us that God says, "I'll give you wisdom and no one will be as wise as you, in the past or, any time in history." But now, and during that time, we also find out, like, everybody came from all around to get this wisdom from Solomon, to hear the things that he has to say, because we had all this collection of wisdom. And, of course, Proverbs, the unique thing about Proverbs is, there's a lot of different kind of books in the Bible. Proverbs is just that. It's a collection of different kind of wisdom sayings. They don't necessarily all connect together. What unifies them together is God. So we read them in that way. But at the beginning of that, we get this introduction from Solomon. We know where they come from, but it also lets us know why do we need to read the Proverbs. And that's where we're at this morning. The question we have, okay, so we have this curated list of Proverbs, these little wise sayings, but why should we actually read them? Why should we go through and study Proverbs? Now, commonly, Proverbs, sometimes we sort of handle the Proverbs almost anecdotally, right? That's a huge word that I actually said correctly, anecdotally. So, just meaning that, you know, sometimes if you want to sort of give an underline the wisdom you're giving somebody, or give them good advice, and you don't really know how to say it, you're going to give them a proverb and sort of help them understand. Or if you want to tell your child why they should be a little more cooperative or obedient, you want to give them a proverb. But sometimes it's just simply kind of garnished at the bottom of our letters or emails, right? Below your name, you have your name and there's contact information. You sort of throw a proverb in there. All of those things are good uses of proverbs. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to understand, like, this is guidance for life. And then the proverbs we have, through the proverbs, this collection of proverbs, they can help us in every different situation in life. They can let us know, like, how we should approach a situation, how we should avoid a situation, how we should handle even conflict is talked about through there. So there's so many reasons to study and understand the proverbs, and that's what we have here as we're leading into this. But we also, in verse 2, it gives us the next couple of verses, we get an explanation of why we're being given these proverbs and why we should study the proverbs. The first we see is in verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, and to understand the words of insight. So the reasons to know is that there's something to know. To know wisdom and instruction, and to understand words of insight. So why should we read the proverbs? Why are they given to us? Well, there's the first point there, is that we have something to know. But the thing we have to know, it says here, is wisdom and instruction. Now, this know is not, it is really like to be aware of, right? To be aware of this wisdom and instruction, to sort of know that there's wisdom and instruction out there. Now, this is important because there is a lot of different kinds of wisdom and instruction out there, but this is really kind of just telling us, like, there's something available to us and given to us, but this is given to us for a purpose, and that's so we can know this wisdom and instruction. Now, but I also like that they included not only to know, but to understand words of insight. It's one thing to know something, to be aware of something, but to know it more deeply is to understand. So this is something that we should work with. The Proverbs are something that we should interact with and sort of let it sort of boil, if you will, and cook in our mind, right? And sort of go to the Holy Spirit and say, what does this mean? But I like that it says to know the wisdom and instruction. These definitely are instructions, and we should take these Proverbs as such. They're instructions on how to live a godly life. But also we see in verse 3, as we move on there, the next reason it gives for us and why we should study these Proverbs. It says, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. So not only to know wisdom and instruction, to understand the words of insight, so we've given these things to study them, to internalize them and process all of what they mean, but also to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. Now, I appreciate we kind of pause for a minute where it talks about wise dealings in righteousness, justice, and equity. There's, wise dealings, when you think about this, you know, you sort of know, like, the street smarts, right? You guys have heard about street smarts or whatever, and kind of how it is to live on the street. And, you know, there are certainly sort of methods and methods of thought on how to succeed in business and how to succeed in relationships and how to succeed in all different kind of manners of situations you might come in the world. But, you know, a lot of times and oftentimes what the Bible gives us is its own collection of wisdom and insight on how to live in the world, how to interact with people, how to, you know, to approach certain situations. So we should see this as, I mean, there are times you'll see, and if you get advice on in the world, if you will, outside of the church, you know, sometimes it's, well, that seems kind of familiar. That seems like a Bible verse I heard one time, and it is. But we should take this, like, this is the we're going to get to this later, but this is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. So when it says to receive instruction in wise dealings, I mean, the Bible tells us to be cunning as we deal with people. Right? We need to be smart and wise. So the Bible doesn't shy away. It's not this, I think sometimes you get this image about Christians, we're supposed to be sort of like this naive, unknowing, and sort of gullible people. Like, that is not who we're supposed to be at all. Amen. We're supposed to be wise and cunning, but we're supposed to be righteous. How do you do all of those things? How can you be wise and cunning and wise and cunning in a world that we live in, a fallen, sinful world, but still be righteous? Well, that's what the Proverbs are going to help us do. All of Scripture, but today, we're in just a couple weeks, we're talking about Proverbs. We are supposed to be wise and cunning. But this is not just a jewel that we get. We don't get these things like these jewels or a feather in our hat. We don't collect these Proverbs as something we can throw at people. Because as Christians, we can take these as pebbles or stones and throw back at people when they're doing something foolish, right? That's not that. That's not why we have these Proverbs. Proverbs are for us internal. Like I have this proverb to help me to understand how to be wise in the world and to encourage my brothers and sisters in their different situations on how you can handle this wisely. You know, if we're living together as Christians as we should, and we have the Christian relationship, sooner or later somebody's going to come to you and say, I'm faced with this situation, and I don't really know what to do. And you're going to be like, wow, I don't really want to give you godly advice, but where do I start? Well, the Proverbs is kind of where you start. It's unbelievable, the thing. In these couple of weeks, you guys are going to be like, that's a proverb? I'm telling you, I'm going to surprise you. We'll put on a couple of proverbs that are just hilarious. And somebody, they're really good, and you'll think, like, I couldn't even know this is in the Bible, but yet it's in the Bible. That's the Proverbs. That's what they do. If you just go through the Proverbs and the way they're kind of organized, and you'll be amazed at the different kinds of advice the Bible has given you that is very profound, but also just very practical. Those are the Proverbs. However, as we think about the Proverbs, and when it gives this away, that's something we need to receive instruction, reminds us that this instruction is also something. In your notes, I thought I did the slide wrong. This is something we need to be willing to receive. I appreciate the way it says is that we's given to receive instruction. You can talk to anybody who's a parent or a friend, maybe you got a friend like this, everybody you have this sort of thing, right? Or maybe a schoolmate, whatever it is, or maybe you're just a teacher, I don't know. You can give some instruction to your blue in the face, but it's not going to do any good unless the people will receive it, right? Well, you and I are the same way. You know, every Sunday we get up and you're in a small group and you hear about this instruction from the scriptures, from God. Every Sunday I talk about scriptures. I read from the Bible. You know, in this church, everything is focused on God's word. Pastor Richard, when he's going to preach, is going to come from God's word. So every Sunday, you're exposed to God's word. But it does no good unless you decide to receive it. Amen? And by receiving it, I don't mean that you're just saying like, oh, okay, I believe that and going on about your business. I mean you're receiving it saying, you know what? How does this apply to me? Am I messing this up? Am I doing this correctly? Do I need to change something about my life? That's what I mean by receiving it. Maybe the receiving it just simply means like, you know, I want to think, this kind of hit me this morning. I'm going to spend the week praying about it and ask the Holy Spirit to like help me understand. Like, what does this mean? Or I'm going to email or call or go to coffee with my brother or my sister or email me or call me and say, what does this mean? Can we talk more deeply about what this means? That's what receiving it means. In fact, I would have it in my notes, but this was kind of the point from my perspective of when I felt like this church was really growing. When I actually had people coming to me wanting to have biblical conversations. That was a huge thing. Because look, there was for a while, and a lot of churches are this way, or maybe your church friends are this way. We would come, it had a great time, but nobody ever asked me about the Bible. Those kind of conversations never come up. That's not how this relationship should be. We should be asking each other and challenging each other about God's word and about scripture. What does this mean? And do you live that way? Do you think it's hard to live this way? And, you know, hey, I'm struggling in this area. What does the Bible talk about that? Have these kind of conversations. That is a sign of a healthy Christian relationship. Not just in a church, but like in your own personal relationships where you're receiving and internalizing God's word. So that's what we're challenged with or reminded to, is that we receive this instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. And those things are so valuable to God. We're supposed to have wise dealings. We're supposed to be cunning. We're supposed to do it with righteousness, justice, and equity. God is a God of righteousness. But he's also a God of justice and equity. Now, of course, we understand that equity doesn't mean, well, I get what's coming to me. No, I mean, equity is just like, there is fairness, right? Now, if somebody does you wrong, are we called to forgive them? Yeah, we're called to forgive them. But they did something wrong, it should be talked about and dealt with. And we do, in this church, we talk about and deal with those things. But equity is really, usually when you come up to equity, when you think about that, it's like you're treating everyone the same. You're not treating somebody any more better or special because of a position they have or something they can give you, their status in the culture or in the church. You're treating everybody the same. That's what equity really kind of gets the heart of. That we are all, we have this understanding that all of us are next to each other on our knees at the foot of the cross. That's what equity is all about, right? All of us are sinners in need of salvation. So that's what we have there. So we see that we have something to know, and we understand that, we have something to receive. We receive this instruction. But also, thank the Lord that this knowledge that we're gaining, this knowledge that we're given is universal. Is universal. Verse 4 says this, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Remember when I felt like I knew, like, hey, I know God has called me to ministry. I went and talked to this other pastor, say, hey, you know, what do I do from here? And he said, a call to serve is a call to learn. And he was telling me, like, you need to get into Scripture, man. You need to start taking classes and learn the Scripture. But I think, man, it's so easy to think about in terms of theology and doctrine and Scripture is like this is kind of reserved for just like the pastors and the elders and like the elderly people in the church. There's a lot of wisdom you can get from a good pastor or elder or a senior in the church. But this is a universal word, right? This word didn't come from me or Pastor Richard or your elders or any of our seniors in this church. This word came from God. And you have absolutely the same exposure to God, the same access to God as I do. Whether that today is day one of your journey as a Christian or day, however many days are in 30, 40 years, you have those up, right? However long you've been a Christian, you have the same exact access to God as I do. Your dependency on God's word and God's truth is just like mine. It's through this personal relationship with God, only accessible in my faith in his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And then he gives me this gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the exact same thing that happens to you. But you have this access to this word, this deep understanding of this word, just like I do, just like anyone else does. But this is to give prudence. The prudence just meaning like understanding to the simple. You know, you could be like simple in your thinking on everything else. Like, you know, I don't understand numbers and I don't understand, well, nobody understands taxes. But I mean, you know, there's all these things I don't understand. But you can be one of the most valuable and wise people in the church of God because you spent your time in this word. I remember my grandmother, I mean, she was, you know, even in her older years, and she died of Alzheimer's, right? She like in her mid-80s. Now, she was very smart. She was a teacher in like those one old one-room schoolhouses, still had her little bell and everything. It was my great-grandmother. But even all the way to the very end, I mean, she could tell you things about God's word. I mean, and I've seen that a few times. I don't want to say it happens every time, but I've known a couple of instances where people are like, you know, close to like the later part of their years, and they're losing touch of a lot of things, but they still have this firm grasp on God's word. It's almost like the Holy Spirit is still speaking through them. You're hearing this wisdom so solidly and so clearly. So I'm just saying, like, you don't have to be like the smartest person in the room. If you have this understanding and this deep knowledge of God's word, it's just as powerful through you. So no sense in just feeling intimidated, if you will. It's for even the simple. Not calling you guys simple, but even if you are, it's okay. But it's also this knowledge and discretion to the youth. Man, our youth are so powerful. And you know, I don't know if it's just, maybe it's just like I'm in that part of my life where I sort of see the world changing. You've always heard about from generation to generation, the world changes. But it certainly applies now where the world is changing so drastically. I'm not old enough to say whether it's always been this way and always changed this much, but I can tell you, I think we all can agree like the world is changing a lot, and I don't know what kind of world that the youth of today are going to face tomorrow. But I'm telling you, like, this word is for you. Like, when you're trying in this stage, when you're trying to get your identity, like, how do I handle these relationships when everybody says this is okay, and I'm trying to say why it doesn't feel okay, or do I think this is okay in this relationship, the people I hang out with, is it okay? Like, one thing that comes up now, and I'll be honest with you, when I first was a kind of a baby Christian, my 20s, I sort of struggled with, my kids were coming up, they had these friends in school that thought completely different than we did, right? And the things come up about, they're different friends who identify as gay, or I'm a girl and identify as a boy, or vice versa. And I want to be honest with you. At first, I was like, wow, what do I do with this? I mean, how do I handle this? How do I give biblical advice about how you be understanding, but yet what's the truth? But how do you handle these relationships? And it's something that, in my little farm town in Indiana, we never dealt with. So what did I do? Well, Melissa and I went to the Word and said, well, what does it say? What do we do? But that's the kind of stuff that the youth have to deal with right now. My kids, as they come up, and even the twins now who are six, they all have had these different things they've struggled with, and I didn't have to struggle with that kind of situation when I was a kid. And they have to sort of navigate these different situations. Well, I'm just telling you, if you're here this morning as a youth, this Word is written for you as well. Just like it's going to help me as a parent in the time I'm in now, or even as a grandparent, as I'm also a grandparent, this Word is also for you. You don't need to feel like you're left out. You shouldn't feel like you're in this church building like you don't have something to say because you're a youth. I can't wait till I'm older so I have some wisdom to inject in this conversation. I'm just telling you, even in your youthfulness, if you're speaking from God's Word, you're injecting wisdom into the conversation. Amen? So this is for all of us. This Word is absolutely universal. It applies to all of us. It's truth for all of us. So here, what we have with all this that is available in terms of knowledge, what is our obligation? That's where it comes from, right? Or that's where it leads to, rather. He introduces as who the author was. This comes from. It's from Solomon. These are sayings from Solomon. He gives us a couple of verses, reasons why we should pay, why they're given to us, but also why we should listen to them. But ultimately, okay, now what do we do with it? How do we respond to this? Well, verse 5 says, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. You can almost put a there for me. You do like verse 2, 3, and 4 kind of gives you this reason. Here's why it's given to you. Here's why it's prudent. Here's why it's useful. Therefore, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. So if you are here this morning and you can consider yourself at all wise, what it is saying is you need to hear and increase your learning. If you think you're wise, you want to be wise, you got a good head on your shoulders, you need to be paying attention to stuff. That's what it's saying, right? You ought to pay attention here. You ought to listen to this. This is going to increase your learning. I mean, now think about all the different kinds of learnings we can have, all the different kind of truths, if you will, like how do you do this or how do you do that, this different kind of wisdom we get outside of the church. This is saying, look, if you're smart, you're going to pay attention. Because I want to, in this book of Proverbs, I'm going to lay down some truths for you that is going to be helpful. And if you are smart, if you're wise, you're going to listen, and it's going to increase your learning. I would even say, so through the years where I have studied Scripture, it has even taught me how to think more clearly. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there was a way that I sort of thought, and I'm not saying your emotions don't matter, but I never understood how logical Scripture is. But think about it for a second. The Bible itself claims that God is God, and His Word is truth, absolute truth. So if it is true, it is logical. Amen? I mean, if it's true, we should expect it to be logical. Because it's true. Now, if there might be some things I don't understand. So we say logical, that's kind of a touchy situation. I understand it. But there's usually when I don't understand the logic in Scripture, when I get down to the bottom of it, it's like, well, there's just something I don't understand. There's information I don't have. But as I've dug into even what Scripture says about just amazing things, about even the creation of the world, right, there's logic in that because truth is logical. As a response to the Proverbs, all of Scripture, but if we look at Proverbs now, my response is to, I want to be wise, so I want to hear and learn, increase in my learning. And as I said also, this teaches me how to think. Now, that's not as far as, brainwashing kind of thing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it helps me to process as I look through Scripture. I can challenge Scripture and say, is this really what this says? Does this really make sense? Should I really believe what Scripture says? And every single time, it doesn't contradict itself. It explains itself very appropriately and very thoroughly in places. So as I've just learned to study Scripture, has taught me to learn how to think through different processes. There's nothing wrong with challenging Scripture. It's absolutely fine. God's not offended because you challenge Scripture. And I think we should do so. So this is also what it opens up us up to. And the one who understands to obtain guidance. That's really kind of a matter of the heart, though, isn't it? To obtain guidance. I think really kind of what that's talking about is like you need to be teachable, right? We kind of covered that a minute ago, but I mean, you need to be teachable. I remember there's people that have come, as you guys know them, again, bivocational, so we'll, one of the jobs, what I did is, I mean, when somebody would hire in, I would sort of be in that, we'd walk them around and sort of talk to them a little bit, just to kind of see, like, are they going to fit in with, like, all the guys and girls in the maintenance, right? It's kind of its own little culture there. But also when they were just kind of new in their 90-day probationary period, that's really what I was trying to figure out is this person teachable? They may be really smart. They may know all kinds of things that are beneficial, but if you're not teachable, that's kind of a problem, right? And I think that's a problem in a lot of different areas of your career, have you will, your relationship. I mean, you need to be teachable. Well, that's also that when it comes to your relationship with God, you need to be teachable. I don't care how old you are and how long you've been around or what degree you have, you need to be teachable. That's the expectation that you should have for yourself, we should have for each other. So let the wise hear an increase in learning, the one who understands obtain guidance. You seek out and obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise to their in their riddles. And then we leave to all of these things to introduce why we should pay attention to what the Proverbs, why we should study the Proverbs. And then we get this first lesson. I love to end this thing off. It sort of underlines everything he has just said on why this is so important and why it's so true, but it's really kind of our first lesson. That's verse 7. Verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we talk about that for a second. That's where we'll end up, because this is kind of where I think this really does a great job of adjusting our heart as we move into these Proverbs, and really for all of learning, of course. But this really adjusts your heart correctly on how do I approach the Proverbs? How do I approach God's Word? The very first lesson is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You guys have heard this. If you've been around the church at all, you've heard this verse before. And everything I'm about to say, maybe you've heard this before, but man, it is so worth repeating or so worth saying. This doesn't mean to be afraid of God. That's not what this means. But to say this fear of the Lord, to understand like you are God. And by definition, you being God means you know all things. You know God, know all things. That's this fear of the Lord. And understand like His word and his truth is the authority. There's a lot of times that in life we'll come up to something and people will say, like, why do you feel this way about this certain thing? And I'll have to tell them, it seems like this packaged phrase. I'm like, well, the Bible says so. That's what the Bible says. That's all I got for you, right? But that's not a weak answer, y'all. That's an answer. That's, I believe this because of what the Bible says. I mean, but in the bottom of that, what I mean is, I believe that God, who created everything, wrote the Bible. This Bible is his authority, and this says this. Even if I don't understand it, I believe it's true because he wrote it. I admit there's things I don't understand, but I think he wrote this. It's his word, so therefore, yeah, I think this is important. That's what we got to go with. Do I know why this is true? Do I know, like, okay, well, why are you opposed? Because here's the thing, like, anything in life, not just for Christians, we're kind of known for things that we oppose, right? And it's not really because we oppose things. It's because we stand and say, well, this is what I think is true. So in every situation in life, the second you say, I think this is true, somebody is going to come along and say, well, why are you opposed to X, Y, and Z? I'm not opposed to X, Y, and Z. I'm just saying this is what I think is true. Why do you think it's true? It's because God's word says it so. That's a fear of the Lord saying, I'm going to submit to your authority and your truth. There is going to be times, if you walk as a Christian, there is going to be times that you rightfully will be challenged. Why do you believe what you believe? When you claim this certain thing, why do you claim that to be true? And you should be challenged. Well, here's the other part of that is, as a Christian, you ought to have an answer. Amen? I've said this before. I'm going to kind of cover it again. In this day and age with technology, there is absolutely no excuse for you to say, I don't know what the Bible says about that. Maybe for a time. Maybe somebody pops a question on you and you don't know in that moment what the Bible says about that. But there is no reason for you not to be able to find the answer in Scripture somewhere. Amen? You got the Bible in your pocket if you got a phone. You have God's Word. You can find out what God's Word says about. I mean, when these scriptures were first written, y'all, these were written to people that some of them couldn't read and write. had no, and there was like one Bible document, if you will, scroll, and the elders held on to it, right? So they had to memorize things. In fact, before that, when you get all the way back into Scripture, in the earlier times, they passed stuff down verbally. How'd y'all like to have a Bible lesson like that? What did Grandpa say? What was that? That's kind of what was going down back then, right? Now, you have access to God's Word, man. All the time you have access to God's Word. But you have to actually dig in there and find out what it says. And if you're going to find out what it says, the very beginning of that knowledge is fear in the Lord. And you say, you know what? I'm going to submit myself to what God's Word is saying. That's God's Word is true. I know I'm going into this knowing that, like, there's some things that the Bible is going to say I don't understand. There's some things the Bible is going to say I don't agree with. But I'm going to keep digging and find out. Which, by the way, while I'm on this, you know, every Sunday I come up here and talk for 30 minutes, and I am not so naive as to think that y'all don't hear something that I comes out of my mouth that you disagree with. That is totally fine for y'all to come to me and say that I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to gossip about you because there's something that I said that you're struggling with and don't agree with. But I'm just saying what we're going to do is we're going to open up God's Word and say, okay, well, what does it say? Let's just work this out and talk about it. But you should, actually. You shouldn't just blindly follow everything I say, right? You should be challenging me and thinking about the stuff that comes out of my mouth. You should challenge your pastors on what they say and say, what do you mean by that? Why did you say that right there? Now, there maybe could be better ways I say it. Sometimes I get a little too direct. That's cool. But we're just going to open up God's Word and say, what does God's Word say? And we're going to go from there. Fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in contrast to that, fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you want to know knowledge, we should be students of the Bible. If you're a Christian, you are a theologian. I've said that before, right? If you're a Christian, you are a theologian. A theologian just means you're the study of God, right? That's what theology is. If you're a Christian, you ought to be studying God. I mean, by the way, how are you a Christian if you're not studying God? You are a theologian, so you should have this heart as a Christian. You should have this heart of a theologian. I want to know more about this word. I want to dig into this word and see what it says. But this conversely, if you despise wisdom, this kind of true wisdom and instruction, the Bible calls you a fool. I'm just going to tell you, I mean, you may be like persons. You may be the go-to guy in whatever social or circle you are in, right? I mean, you may have like a million likes on the social media. I don't know, whatever it is. I mean, the world may love you, but if you are rejecting God's word, God says you are a fool not to listen to his word. I still read things in God's word. I'm like, wow, I've been messing that up for a long time now. I'm glad I read that. There's still things that I get shaped and formed and I mean, everybody should have somebody, a friend that you listen to their teaching. I'm going to brag on you again. So Richard is, I told you guys before, Richard's my mentor, man. So, I mean, and I'm just sharing that with you, not to puff up Richard, but he's a great guy. But what I'm just saying is, like, I don't care where you're at as a Christian. You need to be sitting and submitting to somebody to speak into your heart, saying, give them the permission to say, look, when I mess up, you need to say, hey, you're kind of jacked up here. Let's talk about this, right? Everybody should have that. But it needs to be somebody that's going to come to you with God's word and say, well, this is what God's word says, and here's what you should be doing. Here's how you should be handling that. That's a mentor, right? I mean, it's beneficial if a mentor is smarter than you, but it doesn't, I mean, it just, they just got to be faithful. They got to say, look, your mentor, who you consider as your mentor, as I do, and I have mentors for different things, but the mentor, as I have mentors and try to collect these different mentors, should be somebody that's going to speak the truth of God into your heart. And you need to be willing to say, I'm going to put God's word, I'm going to approach this, what we say and the things I learn about God's word as a student, submitting to his truth, to this almighty God who has given me this truth and his truth for life. So that's what we're going to look at the next few weeks. We're going to look at these Proverbs. Why are we doing it? Well, because everything we just talked about today. Before we close, let me just say, we're going to close in prayer. And I don't want to do this. This is almost like this technical or educational kind of sermon, but I don't want to miss out of this about what's really kind of undergirding all of this is your relationship with God. This is the fear of the Lord. when it talks about this relationship with God, the truth is, you have this understanding, as the Bible says, through this relationship with God, you can only have through relationship with Jesus Christ. So I don't want to just spew out a bunch of facts and wisdom over the next couple of weeks. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you're missing a valuable component that's going to help you understand this word, and that is His Spirit. He's going to open, He's going to enlighten you and give you understanding about what this word means and how it applies. So the words that may be coming out of my mouth the next several weeks, you may understand them, but to truly understand them, apply them to your life, is only going to happen if you have a relationship with God through Jesus. So if you're this morning, that's what I want to challenge you with. I want all of us to lead into this lesson. I hope is this eagerness to hear God's word. But this morning, if you don't have that relationship with God and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, it's maybe beneficial if you're in some ways, but you're not going to have the full benefit of what God's word means in this transformative kind of way that He intends. So this morning, I hope that you'll just, as we pray and when we close in song, you'll remedy that. Come forward. I'd love to pray with you. If we get multiple people, we'll call our elders up. We'll call Richard up. We'll all pray with you. That's fine. Or you can come over here and pray by yourself. I got pretty good at knowing, like, this person don't want to talk to me. Let me move out of the way. Right? I can do that. But man, this is so much to gain. I love the Proverbs, and we have so much to gain in going over the Proverbs. But this morning, start with the step one and have that fear of the Lord, meaning you have that relationship with God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word and your truth. Father, I pray that everyone here, just that they be able to resolve their relationship with you. And we go into this just next few weeks, Father. I just pray that you bless these next few weeks as we look at these Proverbs, just to help us to be wise and cunning, and just the wisdom that we have as Christians. Not just for our own benefit, as we know we do benefit from it, but Father, but just as we our relationships with each other and for others outside of the church. Just help us to become just more wise and stronger and dependable. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand?